Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. You guys, I am back from an entire month off. It has been so crazy. I took all of July off just for several reasons, actually. I really wanted to kind of refresh for one, which I always talk about on here, is so important that if you're burnout, do something about it. And I did that. And also, I have been really diving in to a brand new free workshop for you guys and a brand new mini course for you guys, which the mini course will be a paid course, but it is going to be short and sweet and super affordable. And I can't share all the details yet, but just know that more details are coming in the next few weeks, and it is amazing, and I'm so excited. And then also I took three trips since I talked to you guys last. I don't know, the dates blur together. I took a trip to Waco with Daniel and the girls and the camper and the boat. We all took a trip to Waco, Texas for 6 days, I believe. Can't remember if I've told you guys this yet on the podcast because it blurs into like what I share on Instagram and everything. So we took that trip. Then Daniel did a trip at work. Then he came back home and the two of us went on an adult only trip to float the river, the Guadalupe River in New Braunfels. It's famous for a good reason. It's amazing. We try to do this at least once a year. So we went with a group, my sister, brother-in-law, my other sister met us the second day, and a whole bunch of our friends. It was amazing. There were 9 of us the first day, 11 of us the second day. It was awesome. It was amazing. So the kids stayed home. That was so great for us to just have some grown-up time. And then the following weekend, I took a trip, which is why you guys are here, to the Rise Conference in Dallas to see Miss Rachel Hollis speak live. And I was gone for 4 days. It was so epic. And then on top of everything, between the river trip and the Dallas trip, I lost my voice. I still am not 100%, you guys, like 2.5 weeks later. What is the deal? Probably because I did not rest. I just kept like barreling through all of this stuff. Squeaky voice and all, and it was great. I did have to reschedule a few interviews for other people's podcasts, and I had to kind of postpone some of my own things, but hey, we're here and we're kicking. And if I have to cough, excuse me, I will try to pause if I do need to cough, but I'm still not 100%, but I'm here and I'm showing up because I'm so excited to share all of my takeaways from the Rise Conference with you guys. So that is what we are here for today. Before we get into all of that, I do want to share this week's review shout out. If you're not familiar what this is, it's an iTunes review. iTunes actually rates your podcast on how many reviews you have, how many subscribers you have, and of course, how many downloads you have. But subscriptions and reviews do go into where your podcast ranks and who sees it, where it shows up as. Because you guys have probably seen like suggested for you podcasts come up based on what you currently listen to. So this is how new people find this podcast. This is how new people discover the message that I share that you are absorbing and that other women just like us need to hear, okay? So that's why I try to shout you guys out when you guys leave reviews because I appreciate them so, so, so much. And the new ladies that discover the podcast appreciate you too because it helps them find it. So this week's review is from Carmen and she says, "This show needs to be a go-to Sammy is so easy to listen to. It's seriously like listening to a good friend talk. She breaks everything down, and I love how down to earth she is. Thank you so much, Carmen. That is so sweet. You guys, please jump over, leave me a review, and hit subscribe if you haven't already, and I will shout you out in a future review. There is a link in the show notes for how to do it, but it's also super simple if you just go to the main podcast page on iTunes, and you can leave me a review there. So, okay, housekeeping done, 5 minutes in. So, the RISE conference, you guys, oh my goodness. First of all, I'm going to just disclaimer, because you guys know that I am all about the positive vibes. I am all about supporting, just cheering each other on, encouraging, motivating, all those beautiful words. If you have something negative to say about Rachel Hollis or her work, please keep it to yourself. Every single time I share something about Rachel Hollis, I get hate mail, hate comments, hate DMs, whatever. And honestly, you're welcome to your opinion. I'm also welcome to mine. I love Rachel. I support everything that she shares and the way that she encourages women to just believe in themselves and chase their dreams. And that sparks something for some people that they don't like. So if that's you, you're welcome to your opinion. I'm also welcome to mine. Please respect that. I would love to do another episode of just kind of my soapbox rant on this. Every time I get like a hate message in reference to Rachel Hollis, my husband's heard them all because I just get on my soapbox and I'm just like, you know, women have the right to believe in themselves. And I don't know why some reason some people think that is anti-Christian. I'm really not sure how this even got. I'm not even sure how this got started. But moving on from that. Okay. So the RISE conference, it was in Dallas, which Dallas is about 3 hours north of where I live in East Texas. So to kind of visualize for you, Dallas is 3 hours north. Houston is about 2 hours south. So we're kind of in this little in between middle of nowhere spot, but two major cities are within driving distance, so it's pretty handy. So my friend Megan actually won tickets in a giveaway, and it was epic for her, total God moment for her. And I literally cried when she told me the story that she won the tickets, and it was just amazing. So it was a God moment for her, but it was also kind of a God moment for me, because she invited me. She was like, hey, I know you're from Texas. And, you know, just to kind of set up the background of this, we only knew each other through Instagram. And it's January. And she's like, hey, I got these tickets. I know you're from Texas. Like, how far is Dallas from you? Do you want to go? And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, yeah. And I honestly probably would have never considered going, because it was a little bit expensive. Again, I bought the tickets in January, so I think it was around maybe $250-ish. We got the terrace tickets, which they weren't the general admission. They were one step up from general admission, and they were great tickets. Like, it was amazing. The seats were so good and worth it, for sure. So I think it was around $250. Then, of course, I had to pay, you know, the gas to drive to Dallas, the food while I'm there, and the hotel. And I did stay 4 nights while I was there. So the conference was Friday and Saturday. They did have a health and wellness day on Thursday, which I opted out of. It was like an add-on to my ticket. I opted out of it. In hindsight, I wish that I would have done it, because Megan went to it, and just her feedback from it was, I wish I would have went. I'm pretty sure that the 2020 conferences, it's all included. Like, you don't get an option. You can't opt out of the health and wellness day. And I kind of wish that would have been for me, because my cheapskate side came out and was like, oh, I'm already spending $250 on this ticket. I don't want to, you know, add on the health and wellness day and make it more expensive. So I opted out of it and definitely wish that I wouldn't have done that. But that's neither here nor there. I didn't go to the health and wellness day, but I did go up Thursday. I drove up to Dallas Thursday. I met Megan. I picked her up as she was leaving the health and wellness day. And we went back to the hotel just so we could kind of be there. I could get a good night's sleep, be ready to go, because it did start first thing Friday morning. So there we have Thursday night. Of course, I stayed Friday and Saturday night. Wait, and then I left Sunday. So I stayed three nights. I stayed three nights, but it was basically 4 days, because Sunday we did a debt-free community meetup, which was super fun. So I stayed 4 full days away from my babies and my husband, which it was, of course, that was hard for me. And I was sick because I did both of these trips, the river trip and the Dallas trip, back to back, sick the entire time in the middle. And I was just like, I was tired. I was sick. I was like, gosh, I just spent last weekend away from my kids. And it was Daniel's last weekend home, which is sacred territory usually for us. And I was really not wanting to go, to be completely honest. And here I have the opportunity to hang out with my new bestie, Megan, have 4 days away from my kids, away from my husband, in a hotel room where I don't have to make the bed, and see one of my favorite influencers ever, Rachel Hollis, and be inspired by her work and be in the same room as her and be in the same room as 7,500 other women that are on an epic journey and feel that energy and all of those amazing positive aspects. And I still was like, I told my husband, I was like, I honestly just don't want to go. And he looked up from his phone, rolled his eyes, and he was like, don't even start with me. You're going. So I was so grateful that he pushed me. I'm grateful that I went. And I'm grateful that I pushed through in spite of being sick. And I'm really grateful that I went and I pushed myself out of my comfort zone. So I started with driving the 3 hours to Dallas by myself, which is always a little out of my comfort zone. And you guys know, okay, I have a 2007 Suburban, so 12 years old, has 200,000 miles on it, okay? Like, it runs great, but there's always, like, in the back of your mind, of course, when you drive an older vehicle, not a fear, but just a caution, I guess, of, you know, hey, this could be her last trip. No, my car ran great, but that always does make me a little nervous. And so I did good though. I was super brave. I was a big girl. I drove by myself. I met Megan, who was otherwise a complete stranger, bless her heart. She's like, hey, I know, like, you're probably texting your husband as I'm texting mine. Hey, she's not a serial killer. This is going to be cool. She actually is a normal person. And yeah, we literally both did the same thing. Like, as soon as we met each other, like, okay, hey, she really is who she says she is. We're going to be good. And just, oh my gosh, it was amazing. So her friend Bridget also came with us, also met us there. And I had also the fear of, like, hey, I'm going to be this awkward third wheel to these girls who have been friends since they were kids. But it wasn't like that at all. It turned into basically three moms, three wives, three women, you know, just sharing our hearts with each other and talking about all of the mom things and missing our kids, but also still pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone. And we all were kind of in that same boat. And it was really just another moment of unity of, like, hey, we're in this together. She also left her kids. She also left her husband. She also feels a little uncomfortable doing this. And hey, we're all still doing this together. And it was really great. And even from one of the nights, we went down to the hotel pool. And we're just talking about all of the hard mom things that people don't talk about enough. And people don't tell you before you become a mom, like, how hard breastfeeding is. And just, oh my gosh, like, everything of that caliber conversation and crying together. And it was just so great, so refreshing, so good for the soul. So it was, I guess my point in all of that rambling is to say that there was so much more to the trip, even outside of the conference, that I felt like helped me grow from hanging out with two women who were basically strangers and being brave enough to share a hotel room with them, to share some of my like hardest mom stories to talk about, all the way to having the debt-free community meet up on Sunday and putting ourselves out there to meet new people, possibly be rejected and have no one show up, you know, and all of those discomforts that come with doing something brand new like that. So there was so much more to this trip, even outside of the conference, that I felt like helped me grow in the long run. So if you are considering doing something similar to this kind of trip, a similar conference, or maybe even the RISE conference in 2020, just know that there's so much more to it than just the monetary value. Obviously, like, don't go into debt to go to this conference. I don't advise that. But if you can legitimately afford it, you can cash flow it, you can save up for it. There's so much more value to it than just the monetary value. There's so much more to it than just what you will actually learn in the physical conference, what you will actually work through in the workbook that you get at the conference. There's so much more to it of pushing yourself outside your comfort zone, making new friends, spending some time away from the house, away from your partner, your kids, the norm, all of that. So that was just so great. So the actual conference, here we are, the actual conference. So first of all, Rachel Hollis is a genius. Her and her team put on a epic conference. This was not just your boring, like sitting in sitting in some boring conference room, dozing off, taking notes kind of thing. This was basically a conference. This was basically a concert, not a conference, is what I meant to say. This was basically a concert. She had a legit DJ. You danced throughout. I mean, like every time I turned around, we were getting up to dance, which was so great on helping me not be sick. Sarcasm. But hey, I was there. I showed up. I did my best. I danced the best I could. And oh my gosh, we were like dancing and yelling and cheering and like holding hands with complete strangers. It was epic. And they also had the lobby of the convention center set up with so many photo ops. You guys might have seen some of the posts, some of the photos that I shared in my post. I'll link to them in the show notes here if you haven't seen them. But there were so many places for photo ops, which I'm like, you can tell a woman from our generation designed this, because she knows that I want some cute pictures. And so there were even more photo op places that we didn't even take pictures at, because there were lines to take pictures at them. There were lines for the bathroom because it was over 7,000 women. You can imagine. There were lines for the water fountain because of the convention center rules. You can't bring in your own food or drink, but you can bring in an empty water bottle. So frugal tip, bring in an empty water bottle and there will be a place to fill it up, and you can do that for free. They also did have a concession stand, but honestly, the prices were a little much for a frugal girl like myself. But I did bring in my empty water bottle. I filled it up, and I did bring in some peppermints to chew on in between. So I didn't like, you know, get the munchies, which I'm pretty accustomed to just snacking all day. So I did have a little bit of a panic attack about that, but you know, we were good. And then since I drove myself, I didn't Uber or, you know, carpool or anything. I packed a small cooler in the back of my Suburban. We threw ice in it. We packed our lunch and it was great. I mean, it was so frugal. It was healthier than probably eating at some of the concession stand places. It was faster than trying to go to a restaurant while 7,000 other people are trying to go to a restaurant. It gave us a chance to just kind of hang out in the car in the air conditioning, process what we had talked about that morning. So if you do drive yourself to some conference like this, you guys, pack a cooler. Take a couple of extra minutes in the morning to make a sandwich, make a wrap. That's what we did. We had turkey wraps and pack some chips and pack some extra water. And it was great. Really super frugal and actually way more relaxing because we weren't standing in line for the concession or waiting to get seated at a restaurant. So we took the adorable pictures. We waited in line to fill up our water bottles longer than we waited in line to go to the bathroom. It was great. So Rachel comes on stage. There's the music. You're just like pumped up. You're ready to go. And it was epic, you guys. So epic. Goosebumps all the time. And the first day of the conference, we talked about owning your past. And the way that the conference was set up was complete genius. She is so smart, so just organized, and the way that it was put together, the thoughtfulness that went into the order that things were in, the way that on the first day we talked about owning your past, the second day we talked about owning your future, the way that the speakers were set up, the way that the music was put into play in all of this was pure genius. Pure genius. So we talked about owning your past on the first day, and I actually cried less the first day than I did the second day, which is, you know, that's kind of different, I think. I did still cry on the first day, though, owning your past. But I've been really honest with you guys about the fact that I've been going to monthly counseling. I have been really working through a lot of that junk already on my own. So the owning your past part for me personally wasn't really much of a surprise. I kind of already have been working through the past year in counseling, all of that owning your past kind of stuff. So it was still really great to kind of get a different perspective on it. So some of the things that we talked about, I'm going to pull out my notebook here. So if you hear me like fumbling through pages, that's what I'm doing. I have my workbook from the conference in front of me. And I also took my own little small notebook that fit in my purse because I just, you know, I don't do good with writing in the lines in workbooks. I just scribble all over my own notebook. So I'm going to be kind of fumbling through my notebooks and reading you guys some of my notes. So some of my notes from the owning your past day. I wrote down powerful, still standing after life knocks you down. And I think that is a lesson that any of us can learn. I think it's really about not just owning your past, but I mean, wearing it as a badge of honor. Not only do you own it, is it yours, but you are proud that it's yours, you know? And to remind us that we are powerful. We have done some epic things. And look, we're still here. We're still kicking, you know? And that was something that was like, that was really motivating to me. And I wrote down, we find the good in the hard things. Those of us who own our past and survive all of the stuff that we've been through is because we find the good in all of the hard things. And that's basically the entire premise of my podcast and all of my work is looking for the brighter side, right? It's not that the hard things didn't happen. It's not that there isn't darkness around us, because I've sat here and told you guys how much debt we were in, how much our marriage was hanging by a thread at different points, how I've struggled with my mental health, all these things that are dark things, that are difficult things. But I've found the bright side. I found the lesson. I'm still here. I'm still standing. And you are too. Maybe you're just earlier in your journey than I am. Maybe you're farther in your journey than I am. But we're still here, you guys. We're still standing. We owned that past. If you haven't owned it yet, get to owning it because it's yours, you know? And we can find the good. There is good in every struggle that we've been through. And I think it's also, I really want to do a whole nother episode on this topic to kind of dig more into it. But it's that, you guys, life is hard for everyone. Life is hard for everyone. Life is happening to everyone. But it's those people who flip it into life is happening for you, not to you. That's the mindset that you're looking for. That's how you own it. This experience happened for me to teach me something, to get me somewhere, not just to push me around and bully me. I know now that we were so careless with our money and we got so far into debt so that I could learn a lesson, strengthen my marriage, because I'm just saying, like, if you can get through money struggles, you can get through basically anything else. And to share, to help others. It happened for me. That's why I'm so kind of just cool with sharing it. Because I don't feel like I was the victim in that situation. I'm not the victim of any of this. I'm the hero in this story. I saved myself by the grace of God, of course. But I was gifted with that to be the hero in the story. And it's the way that you hold it. It's the way that you carry it, right? We've all had traumas. We've all had difficult things. But it's how we choose to look at it. And Rachel told this great story, which I wrote down the suitcase story in my notes because I knew I would remember it. I didn't have to, you know, write it down any more detailed than that. But she told this story of, imagine that you're carrying around a suitcase. You're rolling a suitcase behind you. And it starts when you're a little girl and you get this suitcase. And all the traumas, all the difficult things, all the struggles, they get packed up in that suitcase. And you just keep pulling it around with you. And you're like, it's okay. It's not that heavy. A couple years later, it's okay. Can handle this. And eventually it starts to weigh you down, right? Because it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. But we can't live that way forever. Which I think is kind of what happened to me personally with where I eventually felt like I needed to get some help with my mental health, because on the outside I was kind of dealing with it, but on the inside I was still carrying around a pretty heavy suitcase. I hadn't unpacked it at all. So we've got to unpack our crap. Whether that be talking to a professional and dealing with our mental health issues, whether that be decluttering our house and getting rid of physical crap that we're carrying around with us, or, you know, taking the blinders off of how bad things have really gotten with our finances or our marriage or our work situation or whatever that is for you, we've got to unpack it. We can't keep carrying it around. How are you going to climb to the top of a mountain if you're lugging around a huge suitcase of junk from the past? Right? It will make you so much lighter. And that's why I say that even when you first start this journey, even before you're even debt free, even before your house is completely decluttered or whatever it is, as soon as you start, just starting, acknowledging it, opening up the lid on that suitcase and looking at it, taking your blinders off, you've already done some work. You're already going to feel lighter. And then it just gets better from there. It's magical. And I loved the suitcase story. Oh my gosh, it was so great. So we also talked about owning who you are and looking back at our past and knowing that it didn't get you. You know, it didn't kill you. You're still here. If you're still here and you're still listening to this, it didn't get you. I feel like that is awesome. Which is where I got, which we'll talk about in a minute, picking a word. I kept hearing warrior all day long. Warrior, you've been through this. You've been to battle and you made it out the other side. And that is so powerful for me. That has helped me so much with just everything that I've been through. And that was an exercise that we actually ended up doing. Was we did several exercises going through owning your past, and we did this exercise where, let me find it in the book, because I might be telling this out of order a little bit. I am, but that's okay because we've already started this part, but we'll go backwards. Okay, so we talked about digging into the hard things. Persistence, that's what it is. So we had to write a letter to our persistence genius. And the letter says, I'm not going to read you my whole entire letter because TMI, but it says, dear blank, you write your name. I am your persistence, and I am the part of you that never gave up. And this is what I want you to know. So we had a couple of minutes to scribble down things. My scribbling is legit scribbling. I almost can't even read all of it of my own handwriting. But basically talking about things like, my dad died from cancer when I was in college. College is already hard enough. I was a newlywed. I had been married for 3-ish months when my dad died. So take a college student who's also a newlywed, who also starts off her marriage going through probably the worst trauma of her entire life. Then add on all the other things. There's so many things in here about how I have taking care of my kids while my husband is gone half of the time. I've sustained a exceptional marriage in spite of our job situation. I've birthed 3 babies. I survived a miscarriage. The thing goes on and on and on. The list goes on and on and on. Our debt, all these things. Okay? And I'm just telling you mine. So, for one, that you can know that you're not alone in some of the struggles, but also to kind of give you some inspiration of like, yeah, let's dig out the real stuff here. Okay. It's not like, I stubbed my toe yesterday and it really hurts. Like the legit hard stuff here. And you write this letter to your persistence and you're like, hey, you've been through all this crap and you're still here. And then at the end, after you've scribbled through all the things, it says, from here on, I promise to what? And I wrote, give myself credit for the warrior and badass that I truly am. And you guys have done that stuff. And you have done things. You have also survived traumas, hardships, struggles, whatever it is, you also have. So what's your list? And after you write out all of the things that you have been a warrior through, what have you conquered? Remind yourself of the awesome, badass woman that you really are. Okay? And gosh, so I wrote all this out and I'm just like trembling because I'm like, oh, I've been through some stuff, man. Nothing that I haven't, you know, worked through in therapy. But still, to write it all in one piece of paper, oh Lord. It was a little bit of a moment. So we also did this Stand Up For Your Sister exercise, which if you've seen Rachel's Made For More documentary, it's on Amazon. I can link to it in the show notes. It's awesome. So awesome. And she does this exercise in the Made For More documentary. But we also did at the conference. And it is basically where you have this work page and you have this page in your workbook. And it's check marks next to some really hard questions. And you do this all anonymously. And you know from, you know, she tells you from the get-go that it's going to be anonymous. And it is questions, which I wish that I had the example of questions, but I don't because we had to tear out our pages for the work, for the exercise. But it was questions like, you had to check a box next to if these applied to you. So it was things like, I have hated how I look. You guys, not just disliked, hated. I don't know about y'all, but hated is a cuss word in our house. Like, we don't say hated about basically anything. Hated how I look. Oh, that broke my heart. I have lost a spouse. I have lost a parent. I have lost a child. I have used alcohol to cope. I have been sexually abused. I have been physically abused. I have contemplated suicide. There were more. I can't remember all of them. So we had to check the boxes that applied to us. And we folded it like 3 or 4 times. And then they would say, you know, pass to the right, pass 2 rows down, turn around and pass to someone that's like diagonal from you, like whatever. And so you pass several times until you don't know where your paper is. And then she asks, if you think you know where your paper is, pass again. And it's like, you should have no idea where your paper is. And I didn't. And, you know, I'm also getting other people's papers and passing. And so you kind of forget after a couple minutes to even pay attention. And you kind of don't want to know. I personally was like, okay, I don't even want to know who has mine. I don't want to, like, I can't, you know, even know who knows my secrets now. And so you go from at first, like, oh my gosh, someone else is going to have to see my traumas, to all of a sudden you have this piece of paper in your hand that is from a complete stranger. You don't even know who it is. And I wish I could verbalize to you what it felt like to hold that piece of paper, someone else's list of traumas. That, like, oh my gosh, I was genuinely nervous to open it. So we open the papers, and then they go through one by one. If the person's paper that you have checked the first box, you know, stand up, okay, sit back down, and you know, you go through all these things, and basically it's stand up for your sister, and it's to show that, for one, some of these things, some of us had never admitted out loud or to a piece of paper or otherwise. And it's also to show the other women that they're not alone. And so we're in a room of 7,500 women, which is an insane amount of women. The energy in the room alone was insane. And so they're calling out one by one, if you have ever hated the way you look, stand up. I'm not kidding you. 90 to 95% of the people in the room stood up, for they hated how they looked. That broke my heart. That was hard. And it only got harder from there. Lost a child, you guys. A lot. Like probably 30%. People who had lost a spouse, who had been sexually abused, people who had thought about suicide. Standing up, standing up, standing up. It was intense to see how many people were in that room that had been through the worst traumas that you can be through, but were there. They were showing up at a conference to help them grow. Because of all of those things. They were still there and they were still showing up. And we got all the way done and Rachel said, I want you guys to notice that none of these questions did just one person stand up, which means that even in your darkest traumas, you are still not alone. You're not alone. Oh, that was powerful. It was so powerful. And so then we took them all, we folded them back up and we passed them to the front of the room. And then she played a song. Can't remember the song. Played a song and it was like the perfect moment in the song and we were supposed to, like, all the people in the front row were supposed to throw the papers out into the air to signify letting it go. I mean, I think that you can never truly let traumas like that go per se, but to signify that we're moving on. We're unpacking some of this crap and we're not going to keep carrying it around in the suitcase. We're going to take it as we're a warrior because we have been through this, but it's not going to hold me back anymore. And that was so powerful. So there's so much more. And I still want to talk about day two. So let's see what else. We talked about the voice in your head, and I want to do another episode on this too. I have a long list of episode ideas. That's what you get when you take 4 weeks off. The voice in your head. So if you know anything about Rachel Hollis or you followed her, you know that the voice in her head is named Pam. Okay. And if you're like me, you just think, you know, Pam Beasley from The Office. But so the voice in her head is named Pam and she's constantly saying, you know, shut up, Pam, you know, whatever. So that, if you're new to that, it's basically the voice in her head. And she says to give her an actual name, figure out what she looks like. Who is she? And she said, you know, her Pam is that lady who's like got the bad haircut and is like, I want to talk to the manager. You know, you've seen the memes. That's her voice. And she is the one who tells her that she's not good enough. We all have that voice, don't we? And I have been really working on naming my voice, visualizing her, and recognizing that she is just a negative voice in my head. She's not the reality. That voice that's like, you're not enough. You're not smart enough. You're not qualified enough. You're not a good enough mother. You're not a hard enough worker. You're not healthy enough. You're not brave enough. You guys know. You've heard her. Man, that voice can talk. She can talk. So we had to go through of like, what does our voice tell us that we're not enough of? Right? And we have to give her a name. We have to figure out what she looks like. And so we can tell her like she's a full person. Shut up. Sit down. I am good enough. I am doing this. You can just keep your opinions to yourself. So then we had to go through writing out like, I am enough of the, I am brave enough because, and we have to write down past experiences that prove that we are brave enough. We are smart enough. We are a good enough mother. We write all that out and then we have to reaffirm that statement. A self-assurance statement is what it's called. And mine says, I've always figured it out in the past. So anytime that my voice says, you're not a good enough mother, you know that you suck at that, you're not brave enough, you're not smart enough, I can tell that voice, you know what? I've always figured it out. I am a good enough mother because I've done all these things that I listed earlier on the traumas list because I told you I went out of order. So that actually came later after the enough statements. I wrote out, you know, I am a good enough mother because Daniel's had this job for 13 years. I have done this my girls' entire life, this parenting on my own half the time thing. And then the other half of the time, having to figure out how to co-parent again, and the back and forth and back and forth that you can imagine is dizzy. It will make you dizzy. I am a good enough mother because I've done it and I've survived. Right? So what in your life can you reaffirm? Like, hey, you know, I think I'm not smart enough, but you know, there was that one time where I did this thing that was really hard that proves that I am actually pretty smart. Okay, so maybe this will be a good call to action for you to work through in your own journal of where you're struggling with your not enough-ism and where you can work through that and where you can write down your statements of like, hey, I am a badass warrior. Like, I've been through some stuff, man, and I'm still here. So I want to tell you a little bit more. I think I'm going to have to cut this into two parts because I haven't even started with day two. And so good. And I have to tell you all the details. So I'll cut this into two parts, but I'll finish up day one with you guys. So we had Jen Hatmaker there. And I, embarrassingly enough, had heard of Jen Hatmaker, but wasn't super familiar with her work. So she is on my list now of books to read, of authors to check out their books. So we had Jen Hatmaker there. She was amazing. She told this amazing story, which I wrote down in my notes, the elephant story. And so the story about the elephants, what she said was that in nature, female elephants, just the females will do this. When an elephant is giving birth, the other females will make a circle to surround her. And they will stand so close together that you cannot even see the mother in the middle of the circle. They will stand so close together to protect her from predators. They will stomp up dust and dirt to throw off the scent to predators of the blood and, you know, all the things of when you're giving birth. And they will surround her in her time of need. When she's down, when she's vulnerable, they will surround her. They will protect her. They will ward off any danger so that she can feel safe in her time of need. And then, as if that's not enough, and then once the baby is born, they will kick dust onto the baby to help protect the baby's new fragile skin from the bright sun. So not only have they protected the mother in her time of need when she was down and when she was vulnerable, now they've helped her protect the baby, and then they trumpet in unison. They trumpet in unison to celebrate a new life. They also celebrate her. You guys. And she's like, you know, elephants do this. But as human women, we don't do this. We don't protect our sisters when they're down. We kick them when they're down. We ridicule them when they're down. Think about a mom who shows up at a school event or a church event or something, and she's a hot mess. She's fragile. She looks like she hasn't showered in a couple of days. She's lost her patience with her kids. We all have been her, but yet, what do? We scoff at her. We give her the side eye. We roll her eyes. Oh, she's such a hot mess, right? But yet, we have all been her, but we don't surround her. We don't protect her when she's down, when she's having a low moment. And then when she picks herself back up and she's doing great, when she opens a new business or she celebrates an achievement, we don't trumpet for her. We go, of course she did. Of course she got a promotion, right? We get all snarky about it. So we criticize her when she's down, but we also criticize her when she's up and everywhere in between, right? We have to be more like the elephants. We have to protect each other. We have to surround each other when we're down. But we also have to cheer for each other when we're up. And if elephants can do that, don't you think humans are capable of that as well? I mean, elephants are pretty smart. I'll give them that. But you guys, that's a story right there. That's a story. Trent Shelton was also there. He was amazing. Super brave for speaking at a women's conference, but he did great. He was awesome. So he said, what I wrote down in my notes was that inspiration and motivation aren't enough, which I've told you guys this before. Like, I'm here to motivate you and inspire you and give you like those aha moments. But those aren't enough. Like, I can't do it for you. The application is what creates things. So I can motivate you. I can inspire you. I can say, hey, you know, this is how we got out of debt. This is how I decluttered my house. This is how I've set up my morning routine, et cetera, et cetera. I can motivate you to do those things. But the actual application is up to you, you know, and that is what is actually going to create your success. He said that this is making you stronger is easier said than done. Like, you guys have heard that, like, it's owning your past, you know. Okay, yeah, I'm going through this struggle. And it's only going to make me stronger, right? I'm going to be okay. Yeah, that's nice and easy to say when you're not in the heat of the moment. But you guys, that it is the perspective. It's, you know, the same thing of this is happening for me, not to me. And he said that perspective is either your prison or it is your power. Are you going to wear this as a badge? And it's going to give you power to keep going, or are you going to let it keep you trapped in prison? It is completely up to you how you decide to look at it and whether or not you decide to keep moving forward. Yeah. He said, this is a quote that I wrote down, your current situation is not your final destination. Just because you're going through something now doesn't mean that that's the end of your story. Your current situation is not your final destination. It's turning your pain into your power. and acknowledging it and owning it and sharing it with other people to help them grow as well. Which is, that's kind of the phase I'm on. Like, I acknowledge my pain. I owned it. I'm working through it. Still a work in progress. And now I'm sharing it. Because I want this pain to be power. I don't want it to just be pain for the sake of pain's sake. That doesn't do anybody any good. Not me, you, or anybody else. Right? And what else did I write down? Purpose is not an external thing. It is an external gift. No, I'm saying that wrong. Purpose is not an external thing. It is an internal gift. There we go. Okay, so again, our purpose is not an external thing. It's an internal gift. So we have our purpose and we search for how we can best use that purpose. You know, those things, those struggles that we've overcome. How do we use them to become our purpose? Yeah, so much, like so much. What else did I write down? Okay, he says, there's a couple other notes that I'm going to skip over for time's sake. That it's not to just look successful, it's to actually be successful. We could all apply that to our debt-free journeys, right? I know I could. It's not about how you look, it's about how you actually are. And he also shared a few statements of things to quit doing, which I think are worth sharing for sure. Number one, quit trying to please everybody. Number two, quit trying to be perfect and just be real. Number three, quit trying to control the things that you cannot control. And number four, quit measuring your life and just appreciate it. So it's not about measuring your life against what other people are doing or what other people have or what other people think. There's not a scale. There's not a real scale, okay? It's not about measuring your life. It's about appreciating what you do have, what you have been through, and everything in between. And then the last thing that I'll share from his talk was, everything you need, you already have. Right? All of the strength that you need to get through what you have to get through, you already have it. It's in there. You've just got to figure out how to get it out, how to own it. So, you guys, there's a few other things that I wrote down from day one that are so great, but I won't keep you because, you know, it's almost been an hour. But I will leave you with this, and then I will get back to you guys next week with part two, the day two experience. This part says, I don't know how to do it yet. And I underline yet. This is really a reminder for myself, and hopefully it will help you also. But I don't know how to do it yet. That doesn't mean I don't know how to do it and I never will. It means maybe I don't yet. You know, maybe I don't know how to be in the best shape of my life. Maybe I don't know how to be debt free. Maybe I don't know how to start a business yet. You guys, you have to add in the yet. And I can't make it untrue, meaning I can't make the traumas of the past untrue. I can't make the mistakes that I made in the past untrue. I can't rewrite history. It happened. But I have always figured it out. And I think this was during the part where she made us yell, I have always figured it out. Always. If you're here and you're listening to this, you have survived everything that life has thrown at you. And you've always figured it out up until this point. You've always figured it out. Maybe some of it was, you know, rockier than other times. But you've always figured it out. So what makes you think that you can't figure out what's coming next? You totally can. You have to own that past, wear it as a badge, maybe be willing to suck at something while you're figuring it out, and know that failure is proof that you are trying. Failure is proof that you are trying. No, you might not hit your debt-free goal date. You might go over budget. You might slip up and not follow your workout plan. But at least you were trying. At least you're trying. At least you're owning your past. At least you are dealing with all of the things that you have been through and owning it. And knowing that you've always figured it out in the past, and you're going to figure it out this time too. Even if you fall, even if you fail, even if you embarrass yourself. You got it. Okay? All right, you guys. I am going to cut this one here. I will get back to you guys next week with part two of this. Because there's too many takeaways. There's too many good lessons to try to cram it into one episode. And I want you guys to learn the most you can from my experience, as always. So you guys, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be back for my break. Thank you guys for sticking with me. We recently celebrated 60,000 downloads. And there were over 3,000 downloads during the month while there weren't even any new episodes, which is insane to me. It's super humbling. I'm super grateful to you guys for your continued support as we are going into year two of the podcast. Yes, we celebrated last week, I think. We celebrated our 1 year anniversary of the podcast, which is insane to me. This is episode 50. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So thank you guys so much for your continued support, whether you have been here since episode one or you've just joined us. This is your episode one. Either way, I'm so grateful to be here with you. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for listening. I hope that this is helpful. I hope that you guys implement some of the things that I shared with you. And as always, if this was helpful to you, please leave a review, subscribe, share. That is what is helping this podcast grow. That is what's helping women just like me and just like you get this message of hope and encouragement and trying to live on the brighter side of life. All right, you guys, I'm going to go. I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.